Good morning, everyone. Is this on?
It's
not on.
I don't know. It's on.
I can do that. I'm a teacher, or a former teacher, retired teacher. I'm Barbara, a grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you. And I'm from West Jersey, West Orange to be specific. I do need to speak louder. I guess
it's not,
I'm.
It's not working.
It's not working. Oh, real close. Is it on now?
No.
Okay. Then just do this if you can't hear me. How's this? Can you hear me?
Lovely.
Okay. Good. Good. Good thing I've practiced this for a long, long time. I've lost 130 pounds. And I've kept it off now for 15 years. Thank you. You are applauding for OA. You are most definitely not applauding for me. My journey has been long and difficult. I've done many, many different programs before. I've been to Weight Watchers and lost well over 100 pounds several times and gained it back. I tried being a Weight Watcher lecturer in the hopes that would keep me on the straight and narrow. But on the way home from meetings, I confessed to having gotten stopped by the police for erratic driving. But I was reaching down to get a piece of food that I had dropped out of a fast food bag from the floor of my car while speeding home from a meeting. I have gotten speeding tickets on the way to fast food restaurants. I've gone from Weight Watchers to Diet Center to Optifast. I went to Beth Israel Hospital for that and drank that liquid, and I lost all the weight. And I went from a size 24 down to a size 4. But I never got to take the price tags off of my clothes because I would always gain it back. I've been doing this since I was a child. My parents were not compulsive overeaters. They did not have a weight problem. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a middle class area in New York City. I was not abused in any way, but I ate. And I stole food. I was an only child. And I would steal food from the kitchen. And then I had no one to blame it on. I couldn't blame it on, I don't think this works. Oh, it does good. I couldn't blame it on my brothers. I couldn't blame it on my sisters. There was no one to blame it on. And yet, I was eating. And as I said, I lived in the heart of Manhattan. I walked to school or took public transportation every single day. I got a meager allowance, as was befitting someone my age at that time, but I spent it all on food. Now, I have two photos here. I'm going to start one to the left, one to the right. These are my class photos. You'll recognize me, number one, because I'm the only adult in it, and number two, because I really stand out. So I'll pass this one here, and I'll start this one with Meredith over here. My son said, am I going to write anything down to talk about today? And I said, I don't have to write anything down because it was my life. I lived it. But he did use a good simile, and I said I thought I was going to borrow it. He said to me, he's our adult son, and he's living with us. He lost his job a while back. I said, I was telling him I was going to speak, and he said, well, your compulsive overeating is like a garment, an ugly garment that you put in the closet, but you don't want to give away, and you don't want to take it out again, but you know it's there, and you could reach in and get it anytime you want to. And I don't want to pick up that garment again. I definitely don't. I've absented myself from parties, from funerals, from life because of my compulsive overeating. And I was a liar. I would lie about the quantity of food I was eating. I said I had a thyroid problem. I didn't have a thyroid problem. I had a hand-to-mouth problem. And it was my action. I knew I couldn't blame it on anyone. And I knew I needed personal help. I couldn't go from one meeting a whole week and then go to another meeting, because I would immediately leave a meeting and go to a fast food place or a cold food place and buy a pint of or a half gallon of and bring it in the car and eat it on the way home. I needed someone I could call up on a daily basis, and I needed to be honest with the person. I've read in the big book about being honest, about being patient, and that's what I need to be. And I've learned that I can't beat myself up for prior actions, and I just have to do the next right thing. Every morning when I wake up, I pray that I'm going to act in a correct way. And I know our ninth tool is the action plan. But when I thought of what for me an action plan was, it wasn't about getting physical. It wasn't about exercise. It was about acting in the right way, trying to curb my desire to strike out and lash back and let my resentments take over. Because when my resentments take over, I start to get on the pity pot and I start to say, poor me, poor me, poor me, you fill in the blank. I have been abstinent now, and it's through no gift of my own except the gift of OA and the 12-step program. I've been abstinent back to back for the 15 years. I've mentioned I lost 130 pounds, but the miracle is that when I get up in the morning, I look at myself and I recognize myself, because in my prior life, I could be walking in the mall and see my reflection in the glass window of a department store and say, oh my God, when did that happen? When did I blossom up to 215 pounds? How did that happen? And then I would struggle, 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 starve, sometimes starve my way down to get down to what I considered a normal weight. But you know what? Thin is not normal. It isn't. And no matter what weight I got down to, I was always taking myself with me. And I didn't like myself. Now, through OA and the 12-step program, I'm learning to not be as harsh on myself, to accept that I'm a work in progress, and to just do it one day at a time. That's all I can do. And I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you all for listening.
Hi, I'm Jill, compulsive overeater and food addict. I'm extremely grateful to be here today. I will explain that in a minute. I'll qualify first. I came into program January 2008, true dieting style, on January 2nd. I thought I was coming for a diet. The pictures I'm sending around, the little one is me at my full weight 2004. I'm maintaining a 210-pound weight loss.
Wow.
But as you just heard, I came into program in 2008. I hit my all-time low in 2004, and I went on the diet of a lifetime to prove to the world that I was a good person, that I was worth something by losing weight. I took this, you can tell this is the diet mentality, this is the kind you see. I had one turned sideways too, you know, because I had already lost some. So I'll pass these two around. What I did is I dieted myself silly and crazier until 2008 when I found OA. I hate to use specific numbers, but since we're a 100-pounder panel, I kind of feel like I have the privilege. I started at 360 pounds. I dieted my way down to 185 on my own before OA, and it was horrendous and miserable, and I did crazy things, and I lived the diet. The problem was, the world thought I was successful. They thought I had it they thought I had it done this time, because like so many people, I had been up and down. And I knew I was in trouble. I was secretly binging again. I'm a binge eater. And I was on the way back up the scale. I was over 200 pounds again. And I wasn't sure, because I wasn't getting on the scale at that point. And a coworker was very successful working a HAL program, and she had six and a half years at maintaining a very large weight loss. And I followed her into OA, and here I am. So I came in January 2008, and I lost my last 50 pounds that were impossible for me to ever do on my own without higher power. And I have maintained it now for 3.5 years, which was also impossible for me to ever do on my own. So interestingly enough, I had to stop and think, well, you know, what, a 100-pounder panel, how do I speak to this specifically? Well, you know, everybody's weight, food issues manifest in a different direction. I was a binge eater. I had given up. I had decided to eat all I wanted to in front of people and secretly eat. And I got very large. I hesitate sometimes to talk about it too much, because people express hurt and they say, I don't have this badge to show. When I show people those pictures in and outside of the program, it gets their attention. I get a lot of attention. I have to watch my own humility, because people suffer equally or more than I did without that badge of having lost 210 pounds. Maybe their weight went low. Maybe they didn't have as much to lose. So I have to, everything in the program is a balance. I do use those pictures to catch somebody's attention, I think, that might really want to, you know, hear the message, or for outreach. I recently spoke to a nursing administrator with nursing students, and I said, I'm maintaining a 200-pound weight loss. Can we come speak? And that instantly got her attention. It's useful. I'll use anything I can to spread the message. It's been so long that I've been at a typical body size. Isn't that a beautiful thing to be able to say? That physically, I'm forgetting what it felt like. And it was so painful to not be able to move, to not be able to sit in most chairs, to not be able to fit in your seatbelt and reach the, that's too loud, and reach the clutch on the car at the same time, to not be able to be clean, because I couldn't bend and reach at all. I could barely put on my shoes. So having lost that great amount of weight, you know, a lot of talk this morning with Action Plan was that exercise is not part of our program. For me, I have developed a love of exercise, because I'm so grateful that my body works now. And I am grateful for that today, because who knows what tomorrow may bring. It could be an injury, it could be anything, I don't know. But I meant to qualify this way, somehow I got totally off track. Bill's story, page 5. He says liquor, I say food, ceased to be a luxury. It became a necessity. That was my life before program. I could sum my whole story up in basically 3 sentences. Nevertheless, I still thought I could control the situation. And there were periods of, he says sobriety, I say dieting, which renewed my husband's hope. Gradually, things got worse. Then I came to program, and I love this sentence. Bill says, I was soon to be catapulted in what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. And the fourth dimension of existence, part of it obviously has to be that I'm maintaining a large weight loss. But the major part of that plane of existence is the steps and a new way of living. And a spiritual connection that I'll share this part now, why I'm so grateful to be here this morning. We have 2 cars. That, of course, once they're both paid off, are both having issues, can't trust them. I told people today I couldn't carpool because I couldn't trust my car. Last night, my car broke down. On the way to a meeting, I didn't make it to my meeting. My husband gave me his car. It broke down on the turnpike this morning. And I, you know, and my constant dialogue, this is how I work my program, my constant dialogue with my higher power, okay, you're telling me something. Are you telling me to go home? I shouldn't be there. Are you telling me? Because when I turned around, I was on the turnpike headed north, but when I turned around, the car started, okay, making it. I made it back home. And I called my sponsor, and I said, okay, you know, I'm embarrassed to say this. I want to eat. I want to eat my lunch. Right now, I want to eat. I'm so frustrated. I'm scared. Higher power. Let me know what to do. 2 minutes later, I got a phone call from somebody here, two people who drove all the way home and got me. That's program. That's a spiritual connection, and that is truly believing that my higher power does everything in my life for a purpose. I may not know what the purpose is. 1 second, I felt like I wasn't supposed to be here. And the next second, I knew I was supposed to be here. So that is the fourth dimension for me. It is the fact that I have a whole new way of dealing with life. And it's not always easy. For that moment, I thought, okay, we don't have money for a new car. I'm crying to people on the phone. My husband's upset. He's saying it's me. I'm the jinx. The two cars I got in 24 hours went kaput. I just laugh because he doesn't really mean it. That's part of program two, you know, to be able to not react as if everything is personal against me. Where do I want to go with this? I'm incredibly proud of the fact I lost 210 pounds. I know, I am one compulsive bite away from being back there again. And worse than that, worse than the physical part, was that dark, lonely place that I was in before I came here, that I knew I was sad and broken and felt that nobody understood. Coming to these rooms, there are lots of 100-pounders. There are lots of people who are anorexic and bulimic and went the other way, and everybody understands what that lonely place was like and what the difference is. I brought my big book. This is my big, big, big book because I'm 50 years old and it's easier to read. And there's lots of space for writing in. To me, the answer is here, regardless of what the manifestation is of our illness. And I have to rely on my higher power and this way of life every day. Is it close to my 10 minutes?
Okay.
So, I follow the directions explicitly. I get up in the morning, I have my quiet time. I follow directions in the big book. I say my prayers, I do my reading, I do my writing. I try to make my 3 phone calls a day. I can't say I'm always successful with that. I weigh and measure my food. I need to. I need that structure. I need it all the time, regardless of whether I'm out at restaurants or out in front of coworkers, and that's me. I also find it's a good way to spread the message that I have found a solution that works. So, grateful to be here. I don't even know if what I made sense. I said made sense. I don't even remember what I said, but I'm relying on my higher power right now to get me through. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ronnie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ronnie.
I always get a little nervous when I speak, and I tend to lose my voice, so that's why I've been drinking the Diet Coke, and I may have to do that again. Here are some pictures. You might want to start at the end where I have the sticky note, because that's from where I kind of, maybe 2009. I came back in 2006. I can't think of the days right now. And I've been in and out of program for 20 years. I'm one of these people who have yo-yoed, and I have lost about the same weight as Jill. So I get embarrassed to kind of say that when people tell me I should be proud, because I'm not in a perfect size body right now. But it's the extent of the disease. I started off with 20 pounds overweight, thinking it was 50 to 70. You know, my mind didn't have a clear body image. When I was in high school, there's a picture of me in there with the yellow shirt at Niagara Falls. I thought I was fat. I thought it was horrible. It was unmanageable. I was a normal size. Maybe I needed to lose 10 pounds. So I do not have a clear picture in my head of body image, what weight I'm at, what's normal, what's not. And it's unfortunate, but that's what I deal with. So I heard about program when I was in high school. I had a friend that was doing reports on the OA Brown book, and we were in a psych class, and he mentioned it. And I said, oh, I should do that. And I didn't. There are addictions in my family. I'm not the only one. And I thought that I needed to address what other people were doing and not my own, because it was easier for me to deal with. I've gone up and down so much, that's why there are a lot of pictures in there. I thought it showed, you know, I'd be thin, I'd be heavy, I'd lose 20, I'd lose 70, I'd lose 50, up and down and up and down and up and down. The addiction got worse. It was so easy to try to medicate myself with food, and it never worked. I used to use the excuse that I'm Italian, and, you know, we like bread, you know, we like food. It isn't that. You know, I have family members that are perfectly normal weight, you know, but I'd like to use anything I could to try to explain away my problem. And today I know it's truly that I'm a compulsive overeater, and that I have to watch myself with other things too, but food is first and foremost, and it's always been my thing. And, you know, it's really proof of the disease that I've done this twice. I've lost this amount of weight twice. I got very thin. My doctor asked me if I was anorexic, and I was not. I'm perfectly normal weight. And then I started to use my back as an excuse. I had a spinal fusion and laminectomy, so I have a rod in a cage in my back. And I couldn't get out of pain, even with the surgery. So I started to eat over it. But, you know, it could have been that the sky was gray that day. You know, it could have used anything. It was easier that my family looked towards that and said, oh, you know, she's in so much pain, she can't help it. You know, but before that, I had a jaw problem, and I had jaw surgery. I had my mouth wired shut. And they used that, you know, to explain why I was heavy. And I was so psyched when I had the surgery, because I knew I would lose weight. But I knew I couldn't say, oh, I'm, you know, happy that I'm going to end up having my mouth wired shut. Not happy, but, you know, I thought it would get me some kind of sanity with my food, not being able to eat for 3 months or however long it was. And when I started eating again, it was a problem. So I know that I need to be here. And I want to share the hope that if I could do it, you can do it. It's a matter of working this program. It's not working my program, it's working the program. If I do what I'm asked to do daily, I read, I call my sponsor, I commit my food, you know, I ask for help from a higher power, I can get through anything. Lately, that's been a little difficult. I have a lot going on in my life, and I'm not happy with where I'm at. My back pain is so horrible that I'm out on disability, and I lost my job, and I had knee replacement in June, and, you know, I've stayed abstinent through all of this. Yet I got some news the other day, and the first thing I thought of, usually when I get stressed, I think, in the past I would have eaten. This time I thought, maybe I should just get it over with. And I said, you know, honey, what the heck is wrong with you? Where are you going to, you're going to gain another 200 pounds? You're going to gain 300 pounds? You're going to gain 400 pounds? How much can your body take? So I picked up the phone. I didn't really want to eat, but, you know, that's where my head goes to, because that's who I am. And I wish I weren't, but I am. And it was kind of hard in 2006 when I was limping really badly, and my knee was hurting, my back was hurting, and all these things were happening. I had pulmonary embolisms. Everything that I had, they said it was the weight. The weight doesn't help it, but, you know, I don't know. If I take it off, I'm much better. Even if I'm in pain, I can't imagine what that pain would be if I were 200 pounds heavier. I would be really in bad shape. They wouldn't have done my knee replacement. In fact, I needed it when I was heavier, and they told me no way, absolutely not. And they should have. You know, and now when I was at this weight, they said, okay, you know, we'd like you to be a little thinner, but, you know, you're at a good weight to do this. So I was able to do it, and now I can walk without limping, and I didn't know if that was ever going to happen again. And I was so angry at myself, because I thought, you know, arthritis, people that are thin have arthritis, and they have to have knee replacements. But I'm in my 40s. I'm in my mid-40s, and I need a knee replacement already? Is it because I've gone up and down so much, knowing I have the arthritis in my family? Probably. You know, here now, I have to take a sip of this. So I'm just extremely grateful that I'm abstinent, that when I'm asked to do service, I can do it because I'm abstinent. I go out of my way to do service. I need to do that in my life. I do that with people in my life. I try to share as much as possible, because I don't know what anyone thinks when they see me. Someone said to me, oh, you're one of the heavier people in the room today. I feel better that you're with me. And I'm thinking, I lost all this weight. Yeah. It just killed me. But it was the truth, you know? I mean, I guess I'm like what a lot of people are in their mid-40s. They have some weight to lose, you know, and that's okay, but you don't look at me and say, oh my God, you know, I've had things yelled at me when I've been trying to exercise and I'm heavy out of cars. In fact, how people have done that to me. You know, they've rolled down their windows and, you know, you think I don't know I'm fat. I know I'm fat. I'm not stupid. I'm just fat. You know? So I just, it's been a difficult journey, but it's because I get in my own way. It's because I don't know how to deal with my life and what happens in my life without using something to try to numb myself. And once I've been in OA, and I hear a lot of people say this, you come into OA, it's never the same. I could not go out there and eat and just think that it was okay. You know, when I first came in the early 90s, I'd eat on the way to a meeting and eat on the way home. But at least in the meeting, I wasn't eating. You know, then I came in the mid-90s, and I knew I needed a sponsor and to really work it, and I did, and I got thin. And my thin picture is in there. And then I just decided life got to be too much, and I picked up the food, you know. And I didn't feel good enough to call someone at 12 o'clock at night and say, I want to go to Dunkin' Donuts and pick something up when I knew I could have. So what I know today is that if I feel that bad that I'm going to, like, pick up food, it doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I have people that I can call and say, I'm in a bad space, and I want to use food to try to make myself feel better. I know that's not going to happen. Help me. And I'm so grateful for that. I really, really am grateful. And if I can do it, any one of you can do it, because I don't feel like I'm anyone special. I'm just another compulsive overeater who really, really could be in trouble if she decides to go to food instead of the program and work that. So I hope that kind of inspired someone, my experience. I think that's one of the reasons I'm here and that I've gone through that, what I've gone through, that I could speak to you and that you know that it can be done. You know, if I could come back a second time after losing all that weight, and the first time everyone kind of said, oh my God, go to her, she, you know, lost a lot of weight, talk to her. And I used to say, I don't have the answer. I felt it was harder for me to come back, having done that once, to come back and have to do it again. You know, people didn't recognize me, and then when I said I was Ronnie, I'd get like this, like, oh God, thank God you're back. You know, they were so happy I was back. But, you know, it was so apparent what the disease does to us. And I'm living proof, one day at a time, one step at a time, taking the books, you know, taking the literature, I have stuff in my bag, calling people. It's so much easier today to work this program than it was 20 years ago, cell phones. You know, we've just got so many good things that help us. And I guess that's all I really need to share. Thank you.